Milk Bottle Audio presents The Museum of Tat, devised by Robert Crichton, with Michael Foles. Hello and welcome to the Museum of Tat. I'm Colin Jeffries, Professor Colin Jeffries of the Museum of Tat, the curator. And with me today, as always, Professor Jeffrey Collins, Professor of Tat of Sheffield University. Hello. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello, Colin. Yes.
How are you today?
Oh, tickety-boo, I believe, as they used to say in Germany.
Yes. We're still awaiting news on the Tat Classification Board hearing about a piece of tat we put through a few weeks ago. But it's looking up. We have got a lawyer now, in fact, a very, very good lawyer, who's not too expensive,
I have to say.
Mm. So at the end of the programme, there will be a link to our Kickstarter, Save the Museum of Tat, contribution fund to help pay for his services. However, we are moving on to this week's piece of tat, and I think you will agree that this is a thing of beauty.
Oh, undoubtedly.
I think it's been quite lovingly crafted. I think we can say that someone has spent time and effort creating this particular figure. That said, I suspect not in the medium to which we find it now. I suspect this is a copy of a far, shall we say, superior version of this particular item.
I think that's fair.
I think that's reasonable, because it's a dog. It's a small dog. And again, if I could just ask Jeffrey to hold it for me there, I will just measure the base of the dog.
Oh, the base, yes.
The base dog. Is it a little over 2 inches there, depending on where you go from, but about 2 1/4 inches.
Length.
That's the length of the dog. And if we go for the height, because he sort of sat proud, as it were. And that's 2.5 inches high. It's, I don't know what breed it is.
I was just thinking about myself. I don't know. It's long, floppy ears, sort of wavery. I mean, the detail for the hair is...
There is, some real effort has gone in. Centre parting there. And the hair going over the eyes to create a sort of haunted look.
Definitely. I was picking up on that.
They're very, very deep set eyes, and definitely a sense of...
If you stare at him, he's not actually staring at you, he's staring to one side as if remembering an old bone he buried, but he can't remember where it was, and he loved that bone.
Mm, it's quite moving. Mm, it really is. Not only that, if you look at the I think that's quite a shiny nose.
Healthy dog.
But well, I was going to say that yes, the nose is shiny, but there's something I think he's not been getting enough water, because the tongue is out.
Yes.
And so I'm possibly a bit hot, possibly dehydrated. That's always a worry.
For those out there interested, I would say Pantone 182 pink for the tongue.
For the tongue, yes. I think that's a fair assessment,
yes,
there. Now, the reason why it is included as part of the Museum of Tat is actually not because of the nature of the figure itself. We have suggested that it is in fact moulded on another dog, probably made in some kind of fine porcelain or some kind of ceramic, and sold at probably considerably more than the market value of this particular item. This is made in a fairly cheap plastic, I would say.
Oh, definitely.
It has no luster to it. It doesn't have the sheen of its ceramic original as we purport. We can't. It could have been specifically commissioned.
It could have been. I don't recognise the piece from
anywhere
else.
But it's quite a matte finish.
Yes,
it is. It is a very matte finish. Though there is colour grading there. It's got a sort of pale brown for the most of the body, and then details picked out in a darker brown.
The black nose and the 182 Pantone pink top.
Yeah,
I'd say he's got a... Oh, now that's interesting.
Yes, because he does have quite a pronounced anus.
The hole at the back.
I will indeed measure the anus there, and I would suggest that's almost I would say
somewhere between 1/4 and 1/2 inch.
It's not a small hole by any stretch of the imagination. And but of course this is a clue as to its inverted commas, purpose.
Oh.
Because as a piece of tat, it has to be functionally useless. Now, of course, if it was just a ceramic item, then it wouldn't necessarily be tat, because just because it was hideous doesn't mean that it's automatically tat, because, again, as we discussed before, one person's tat is another person's priceless work of art. Mm. However, this, in theory, has a functionality.
Well, I don't... And
Geoffrey has just had a look at the base of the dog.
I didn't expect that. The whole makes sense.
The enormous anus is now put in context, because the dog is itself a pencil sharpener.
Pencil sharpener.
Yeah, and here we have one of the finest indicators, because, of course, you've always got to check for any maker's marks on any item. And if we hold it up to the light, I don't know if Geoffrey can see there.
Oh, yes, yes.
It does say quite clearly, it's been a bit scuffed, but it does say made in China.
China, yeah.
So it's clearly made from a country with a terrible human rights record, where people who have made this probably live miserable lives, probably in a free trade zone, where they will have no workers' rights whatsoever, where a foreman will probably stand over them and force them to work for hours and hours into overtime, even when pregnant, and again, probably children.
Yes.
Children or young women.
But there is a serious message here. It's not all fun, you know.
Yeah.
This probably explains why it's so hideously made.
Because
if you're going to get small children who haven't got the basic training to try and make your tat, they're just...
Well, I was thinking possibly it was a protest.
I hadn't thought of that, yes.
You know, that maybe the workers have actually deliberately distorted, because that's possibly why the dog looks so sad. Have you considered that the small child with the paintbrush, we don't know how much of this is automated, but I would suggest the detailing on the eyes was probably done by a very small child. And that, I suggest, speaks to me of the tears of a child. However, if it is to go into the museum, it has to exist as an item in itself.
Yes, yes.
And for it to be truly tat, what we have to do now is to test whether it works. Because it has to have a certain lack of functionality. So it has to actually either work not very well or at all. So I'm just going to... I've got a bin over here. There we are.
I can confirm this.
Yeah, this is a bin. So I'm now inserting a completely unsharpened pencil.
Oh yes,
so
I can
there's no
can
there's no
verify.
Chance of bias here. And I'm now going to insert the pencil into the pencil sharpener. And I think this is... Oh, no, hang on. We had some initial difficulties getting it in. There was a little bit of resistance. It was a bit tight. But we have now managed to insert the pencil into the pencil sharpener. And I am turning it. And there is some cutting. We have got... Definite cuttage. So, This is going actually, in many ways, disappointingly well.
Colling is...
But it's still early days.
Turning the pencil I'm sharpening.
I am indeed.
The first
little shaving has now come off. And we've now reached some lead. But there, look, it has taken... The tip is trapped inside. And if you look closely, you can see why. It's because... And it's part of the reason why I had difficulty getting it in was just simply because it's slightly out of shape and the plastic of the dog is interfering with the end of the pencil there and is, in fact, breaking the tip as you turn it. So
nobody wants...
It's fundamentally... Pointless. The Museum of Tat can now be found on Twitter at Museum of Tat.